now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Here we are. It's August, and we're almost at the end of August. It's feeling a little chilly this morning, and yesterday I was running in a 5K, and it was a little chilly out there. You know, it just makes me start to think of sharpening up our pencils, getting back to school. Fall is coming, and I know some are shaking their head and saying, no, please don't go there. Let's just soak this summer for all that it's worth. But when I think of the fall and I think of back to school, it reminds me of when I was younger and I left home for the first time and headed off to college. And I want to tell you a little bit about my testimony and a little story of myself and the impact that that season was for me. See, I grew up in a household that had a lot of religion and not a lot of faith. In a household where we did the church thing, but there wasn't life in God. And my household was pretty messy and pretty messed up. As a teenager, I look back and I don't fault my mom and my dad, but I watched their marriage fall apart. And I remember there was a whole lot of yelling going on, and it wasn't a whole lot of pleasantries at times. So in the midst of that, my mom was looking for answers, and she started looking in different places, and, you know, she was looking into some interesting stuff. You know, I would call her when she was in a counseling appointment, and she sounded like she was high or she was drunk, because her counseling consisted of this hypnosis and going back into past lifetimes and just all this stuff. And this was church counseling. Okay, this was in the local church. And my dad is like, that's screwy, that's crazy, I don't want anything to do with it. And so this search for, you know, truth just, you know, led to a division between the two of them. And it was not pleasant. It was not fun. The household that I grew up in, it was difficult. I can remember back, it, you know, came to a head when my mom, you know, said, I'm leaving. And she moved out and moved in with a friend of hers who was, you know, big into this, you know, meditation stuff and all of this, you know, hypnosis and just all of this stuff. And it was only twice in my lifetime that I remember seeing my dad cry. And that was one of them. We were sitting around the dining room table the night that Mom left, and I watched my dad cry. I mean, he was a tough man. He was a machinist. He was a farmer. He was a workaholic. He was this and that, but he wasn't going to show a lot of emotion. And that was one of the two times that I remember watching my dad cry. And that was not a fun time. A few months went by, and my mom came back home and told my dad he had to leave. So he moved out and moved in with some friends. And they didn't live very far away, and I remember because I'd be on the school bus coming home and drive by the house and see my dad's car there and think, this is just wrong. This is just plain messed up. This is wrong. So this is the household that I grew up in. By the time I was 17, they were officially divorced and gone. And my sister, she joined the army and got out of there. And so I'm heading off for the first time to college. I had applied to Cornell to study astronomy, thinking that the answer was in the stars. I was looking to study with Carl Sagan, you know, the well-known atheist. I'm so glad God closed that door. See, on the outside, everything was perfect. On the outside, I graduated second in my class. I was the first Eagle Scout in my town for 10 years. I was doing everything right, and on the inside, everything was wrong. Everything was empty, missing and insecure and afraid. But on the outside, I was a perfectionist. I was a know-it-all, arrogant little nerd. And so that's who I was at age 18. And I moved away, you know, fall, here we go. I moved away to college. And by January, I was even more miserable. But God brought me to a Christian fellowship on the campus of the U of R, here at the university. And on that campus, I was introduced to the household of faith. Now, the household that I grew up in was anything but what this family was like, the household of God. And that household that I was introduced to was Joy Community Church, then known as New Jerusalem Church. That was January of 1987. And I want to talk to you this morning about the household of God. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We've been in Ephesians a lot in this season, and guess what? We're still in Ephesians. So we're going back. We're going to visit a passage in Ephesians chapter 2. And there's something about being truly loved, being truly accepted. You see, on a Friday night, the third Friday of January, I gave my life back to Christ. I had been born again at age 7 through an outreach, you know, in my community. And so I was a child of God. I knew I was saved, but I know nothing about being part of the family of God. Sometimes it's not enough to just be saved. You need to recognize that there is a family that God wants you to be placed in, that the household of God is significant on the heart of God. Let's look at Ephesians 2 together. We're going to start in verse 17. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both, that's both Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The New Living Translation says the family of God. Having been built in the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So this household of God is just, it's a wonderful thing. It's the family of God. It's the local church that's the household of God. I want to clarify that because you can watch T.D. Jakes on TV, or you can watch Joel Osteen on TV, and you can be a Christian and you can be saved, but not be connected with the household of God and not be in a place where you're able to fully receive all the benefits that God has for you. You can be a child of God but live like an orphan. You can be a child of God but miss the blessing, the inheritance, all that God wants to give you as part of what it means to be part of his family, to be members of the household of God. Joy Community is a loving place, a welcoming place. Joy Community has been for me and for my family more of a family than my natural family. I have moms, dads, aunts, uncles, sisters, and brothers here, even cousins, children in the faith, even those that God has allowed me the privilege to mentor and disciple. Some of those cousins, though, I tell you. Verse 19 says, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I want to talk about that for a minute. Strangers and foreigners. The strangers were literally aliens, those who were outside of the promises of God, those who knew nothing about the promises of God. How many of you knew nothing about the promises of God at one point? I know. For me, like I said, we were in religion and we were doing the church thing. I was busy singing in all these different groups and playing in different groups because I hid in school and music, and one of those was the church choir. But it was empty. It was dead. It was lifeless. We were aliens. We were separated from God, but God by his grace brought us in. But God by his love brought us to a place where we're accepted, where we're part of the family. Here at Joy Community, there is a legacy of love. There is a place, and I want you to know that for the 30 plus years that I've been here, I have been so amazed by the love of God. Now, sometimes that love has come with a good spanking. Sometimes that love has come when discipline is needed with loving correction. And I'm grateful for it. The love of God is amazing. It's true family. I can think all the way back to the days when I was in college and in a dating relationship, and where did I go for counsel? It was people from New Jerusalem Church. And when Michelle and I were dating, it was people from New Jerusalem Church. When I was out of work, it was someone from the church who said, "Here, why don't you try a job here?" and got me a job. It was my roommate who was part of the church who helped pay the rent when I couldn't pay the rent. And I remember when Michelle and I were engaged, we were at family camp and we were sitting on the hill, and it was Tom Smith who decided he wanted to run, and he ran and sat right between us and said, "I think you two need a chaperone." That's a loving family. That's a loving family. It's God who brings those who were strangers, those who were aliens, those who were near and far, and brings them together into a family. He brought my wife from Flushing, Queens. He brought me from out in the woods in the cornfields of Caledonia, and he brought us together. He brought you here from one place and some from another. Think about it. Black, white, Puerto Rican, Nigerian, Bolivian, German, Irish, Italian. Don't want to leave anybody out. Dutch. Don't forget the Canadians. Russian. Chinese. God brought us here from all different places. Married, single, male, female. God brought us together as the family of God, as the household of God. My kids grew up in this family. My kids were baptized in this family. This has been my family. And for me, in this season, as I'm preparing to move in the next 6 to 8 weeks on into the next season of life and ministry, I realize that Joy Community is in my DNA. That the family of God, the household of God here, is a part of me. And trust me, that's something I'm taking with me. That's never gonna stop. That's never gonna end. That's so significant. We're no longer strangers or foreigners. The foreigners are those who dwell alongside. Now here's the challenge, folks. You can be born again and not fully give yourself to be a part of the family of God. You can be born again and come to church once in a while, but you're dwelling alongside. You're kind of on the outside looking in. And today, God wants to challenge you not to miss out on the blessing of being part of the family of God. Don't live like a foreigner. Don't live like an orphan. Don't miss out on the blessing that God has of being part of a place where there's life, of a place where there's healing, of a place where you're accepted, where you're loved unconditionally. It's not perfect. I can stand up here and I can tell you about the faults of Joy Community. And you know what? You can tell me too. But I can also tell you the love covers a multitude of sin. And that the love in this place far outweighs the petty things, the little things that the enemy would like to dig up to distract us and divide us. God has put us together as a family. That's a precious thing. It's the household of God. What a contrast from what I grew up in. Maybe similar for you. God has brought us together. We're no longer strangers or aliens. We're part of something greater. There for the good and the bad. But we're there. We're here together. The second thing that I see in this passage, when we look at what God has in the household of God, it's a family of God, but it's also a place where we're fitted together. It's a place where we belong, and we don't just receive. It's not like you just stick out your IV and hook it up and just suck up everything you need. You know, feed me, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's not just about that. The household of God, the local church, is a place where we are all joined and fitted together, and as so, we build something significant for God. It says down here in verse 21 that Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. Everything is built upon who Jesus is. And built upon him, it says, the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We are a holy temple in the Lord. Now in Ephesus, they knew about temples, because right in the center of their city, they had the temple dedicated to the pagan goddess Artemis, Diana. Okay? And that temple was the center of commerce. That temple was the center of the social life in the city. It was the center of the worship and the religious life. It was the center of everything in that city. Paul got himself into a little bit of trouble when he was visiting Ephesus at first in there, because he was disrupting the trade of the silversmiths, because everything they were doing was to worship Artemis. So they knew something about the temple. Well, see, this building literally means that there's many buildings put together, okay? And those buildings are all built of different stones. If you want to throw up that picture there, Micah, you can see when you look at this, we've got all these different stones, and they're not the same size. They don't all look alike, but they're all fitted together. And when they do this, they would take this section, and they would take another section next to it, and they would fit those sections together. So maybe you look around and you're like, but I'm not like the person next to me. And God says, that's exactly true, because that rectangular long stone is meant to fit next to the smaller one next to it. And they get fitted together. And that's what God has for us. God is calling us as the household of God to be fitted together. And if you would show the next picture, please. Here's the problem. When you're not here, there's holes in the wall. When you're not here, something's wrong, because there's a spot that the enemy can get through. And eventually it starts to break down. And what you get is you get the shell of a building. There are holes where God has designed you to fit. Look at, turn right in your Bible. Just look at couple chapters ahead in Ephesians 4, verse 16. Paul's speaking about the body of Christ, and he says, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effecting working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself, the edifying of itself in love. Every part does its share. It's the joints that supply the growth. It's where we're knitted together that there's the power. It's every part at work. The body of Christ, the local church, is meant to be a place where everybody has an opportunity to contribute. It's not just about give me, give me. It's a loving place. It's a place where we're healed and encouraged and fed and nurtured and welcomed and accepted. But it's also a place where we can see how God would work in us and through us to build up others. And I got to tell you, Joy has been a wonderful example of that. Joy has been a wonderful example of that in my life, in my family's life. I look back, and I remember the first time I ever preached was at a men's breakfast in the fellowship room quite a few years ago. See, God brought me into ministry through the local church. When Michelle and I were married in the mid-90s, we were praying and seeking the Lord, and God was speaking to us about a call of God into ministry. And God made it abundantly clear to us that he was going to raise us up in ministry through the local church. God said, I am calling you into ministry, and it's going to be through New Jerusalem, now Joy Community. And that has kept me through years and years of different things. And I remember, see, we used to sit in the third row, right here. I sat right here. And the Smiths sat in front of us, and the Lewises sat behind us because our kids would climb under the chairs in both directions, and so we had kind of walls, gates that would help keep them in line. But I remember sitting right here in this seat, and God spoke to me as the sermon was being preached and said, I'm calling you to be Elisha. I said, okay, so who's Elijah? And he said, Pastor Al. See, God spoke to me right here in this local church. And then later in worship, another time, he spoke to me. And he said, I'm calling you, son, to be a Timothy, and Pastor Al is to be your Paul. And so I went and I talked to Pastor Al. In his wonderful way, he said, yeah, we've been waiting for you. And I came into ministry through the local church. And through the local church, God opened up opportunities to serve with so many of you here and to be sharpened and to be fitted as that right stone. Because God wanted to sharp off some of those edges. He wanted to deal with some of the insecurities. He wanted to deal with some of the perfectionistic things and some of the pride in me and other areas in me. And serving here in youth ministry. And Jeremy Smith was part of the team years ago. And then God opened the door to serve on short-term missions trips. And I can look around and see many faces here who were a part of missions trips over the years. And going down to Florida and helping rebuild the church down there. And taking care of the building here and working with Regina on that. And so many different opportunities. Summerfest this year alone, we had 100 people from this church working together, serving this community, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. That's 40% of the church. That's unheard of. That's phenomenal. Cooking up a storm that day and serving in all different areas. It's through the local church that we build up this temple. God wants to see his kingdom advance. See, the temple was the center of the city. Not only was it in Ephesus, it was the center of the city for the Jews. It was the center in Jerusalem. It was the center of everything that God wanted to do. It was the place of his presence. God wants to build that up today. It's not a physical building. It's the building together of his people in unity. And don't miss that picture that if you're not there, there's a hole in the wall of that building. See, there's a challenge. And the challenge is that sometimes we think, I can get there when I want to get there. And, you know, is it all about Sunday mornings? And is it all about this activity or that activity? But you need to know the heart of God this morning. And that is that if you're not there, you're missing out and others are missing out. Amen. Because of the part that God wants you to play in that. And I am just so humbled and honored to look back and see what God has done, even in my family, in the time here, remembering my son at age 10 preaching from this pulpit, my wife preaching from this pulpit, my daughters and my younger son leading worship, helping lead worship here. God's done it through the local church. And if I'm off on a missions trip, God's taken care of my family here through the family of God. How many times if I come in on a Sunday, Tom, you remember, I'm getting ready to preach and the sump pump blows at the house. Tom's like, I got it. So he's wading in water in my basement, cleaning up while I'm here preaching the word. Time after time, how the family of God has been there, mentoring my children, just being brothers and sisters, working together, serving together. It's an amazing thing. And here's why. The purpose of it, why build or see God build us together into a temple, it's that we might be a dwelling place for the Spirit of the living God. You see, the Spirit of God wants to move afresh. God wants to do something fresh. And I am telling you this. This, I believe, is the word of the Lord, that there is revival coming to the city of Rochester, that there is revival coming, and Joy Community is going to be at the heart of it. Not the only one, but Joy is going to be a part of what God wants to do. Remember, it's the many buildings built together as the temple. It's Joy Community, and it's the expression of God through this body, and it's the expression of God through that body. But you need to be part of a local body. You need to be part of a local church, fitted in, loved, appreciated, serving, joined in, being a part of what God wants to build and grow, because he wants his presence to come. Because he wants to supernaturally do what only he can do, like we sang about this morning. When you do what only you can do, politics aren't going to fix what needs to be fixed. We have economic challenges. We have education challenges. The city school district ranks the worst in the state. One of the worst in the state. It's the worst in the county. We have economic challenges. We have relational challenges and social challenges, spiritual challenges. God is the one who's going to make the difference. It's the Spirit of God that's going to make the difference. And we need to be together in unity, ready to see what God wants to do. And there is a building that's going on in the Spirit, a building up of that temple. See, here's the picture. In Ezekiel 47, there's a picture that from the temple flows the river of God. That from the place of worship, that from the place of God's presence, from the place of prayer, from the place of the declaring of his word, flows the presence of God. And when Ezekiel saw this vision, at first glance, the river was just a little trickle. You could splash around in it. It was up to your ankles. Then he went a ways further, and it got up to knee-deep. Out a little ways more. Now it's up to his waist. He's swimming around and having some fun. A little ways farther, he's in over his head. For some of us, we like playing in the water. But God says, I'm calling you deeper. God says that the day of being a foreigner and someone who just kind of idly watches and looks on is over. It's the time to jump in. It's a time to get in over your head and let God do what he wants to do. You watch and see what God is going to do through Joy Community. And it's not just for this region. Joy Community is going to touch the nations. Ezekiel 47 says that on the side of that river were trees, and the fruit of those trees was for healing. Well, you see that same vision again in Revelation 22, and it speaks of the fruit of those trees, and it says that that fruit was for the healing of the nations. There are nations that will be impacted through Joy Community Church. And God's going to bring some of those nations right here. And he's going to bring some of you sitting here in this room to some of those nations. You watch and see what God is going to do and how he's going to use you in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth as he pours out his Spirit afresh. There is something so profound that God wants to do, because there is a need around us. There is a need around us. I want to just close and leave you with this picture. As the world's getting darker around us, it's just so that the glory of God shines brighter. As the world is getting dark around us, it's because he's polishing us like a gem. And then he is going to turn on the light of his glory. And the word of God says that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. There is a day coming when the glory of God is going to be released, and it's going to shine against his church that's been polished. And the contrast between that and the darkness of sin is going to be so amazing that the world won't be able to help but see God for who he is. And Joy Community is going to be a part of that. It's a dwelling place for the presence of God. That's what he's all about. A tangible sense of his presence. The power of worship that brings us into his presence. A hunger for the Holy Spirit and a fresh move of God. God always responds to hunger. I am so blessed by having been a part of this house. You put up with me in my teenage years. You put up with me through all of my shenanigans, if you will. And know this, that as God is sending us out, it's carrying the heart of Joy Community in our hearts. That I stand before you filled with love and appreciation for the many years of relationships. And it's a good thing. It's a hard thing, but it's a good thing. And we're excited to move forward in what God has, and we're excited for what God has for Joy Community. So if you would stand, I want to pray with you. Sally. Thank you. Father God, we just stand in awe of the goodness of who you are. Lord, we thank you that even in the challenges of life, that we can declare like David did when he said, I would have despaired unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God, we are just beginning to catch a glimpse of your goodness. As Pastor Matt said this morning, you are good. You are so many things. You are so great. You are so amazing and awesome, but you are also good. You are a good God. You lavish your love upon us. I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for each and every one here. I thank you for the season that you have had us here in this place. And I just want to declare your blessing upon Joy Community Church. God, I thank you for the heritage of the family of God that's in this place, the household of God. Lord, that there is a love here so deep, so profound. God, that there are so many others that you want to bring in. I thank you, Father, for the season that's coming, that you are preparing this body, fitting it together as the temple for your glory to be released. Lord, that day is coming that we are going to see not just a trickling, but we're going to see your spirit flowing like a river. And we're going to see lives being touched in significant ways. And we're going to realize that, God, we need a depth of you that's beyond ourselves, that it's not about our own human ideas, it's not about our own human endeavors, it's not about our energy and our efforts, but it's about being fitted together and in unity with you and watching you do what you want to do. So Lord, I just want to right now speak a blessing over this house. Father, I pray your blessing upon these families. I pray your blessing upon marriages. I pray your blessing upon parents, upon children, upon grandparents, upon cousins, aunts and uncles. God, I pray that if there are any here who feel like they are on the outside looking in, that maybe they feel like they peek in every once in a while to see what's going on, that there is an open invitation to be a part of the household of God, that it's not enough to be called a child of God and still live like an orphan. God, I pray that each one here receive the fullness of your blessing to be part of the family of God, to fully grab hold of what it means to be a member, not just have their name written on a piece of paper as a member, but what does it mean to be a member of your family? And what does it mean to be a part of what you want to build? Oh, God, fill the holes. Help us to see where you want us to fill those holes in the wall, that we are each needed, that we each have a part. And, God, that you get all the glory. God, we want to see you get all the glory. So, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We love you. We love you, Lord. I just want to extend an invitation. The altar is open if you just want a fresh touch from the Lord. Maybe you don't know specifically even what for, but if you just want to receive a fresh from the Lord, feel free to come and receive and enjoy some time of loving on each other, being part of the family of God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.